ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Text Number 13. Okay, please repeat. I will read from the word for word, so it's a little different than the verse. Yagya shishta ashinaha santaha muchyante sarva kelbishai bunjate te tu agam papaha ये पचन्ति आत्मकारणात् याज्ञाशिष्टाशिनः सन्तो मोचन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषाय भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापा भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापा ये पचन्ति आत्मकारणात् Yagyasistashina santa Sidastino santo Muchante sarva kilvishai Bunjate te tvagam papa Bunjate te tvagam papa Ye pachanti atmakaranat Yagyasistashina shanto Mojante sarva kilvishai Bunjate te tvakam papa Ye pachanti atmakaranat Yagyasistashina santo Mujante sarva kilvishai Bunjate tve kabam papa Ye pachanti atmakaranat Yagyasistashina santo No, it's very good. It's good. Please repeat. Muchante sarva kilvishai. Muchante sarva kilvishai. Bunjate te tvakam papa. Ye pachanti atma karanat. Please repeat. Yagya shishta. Of food taking after performance of yagya. Ashinaha, eaters. Santaha, the devotees. Muchyante, get relief. Sarva, all kinds of. Kilbishai, from sins. Bunjate, enjoy, they, to, but, agham, grievous sins, papaha, sinners, ye, who, pachanti, prepare food, atmakaranat, for sense enjoyment, Translation. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Purport. The devotees of the Supreme Lord, or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness, are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Sangita 5:38, Premanjana churita bhakti vilochane na santasa deva ridayeshu vilokayanti. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajñas in different modes of devotional service, such as sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajñas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but are also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gnanjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupakadamayang Dadati Swapanantikang Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatang Saganatang Vitam Tang Sajivang Sadvetang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishubhanu Sutadevi Prana Mahami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the next one. Yagya Sistashina Santo Muchante Sarva Kilbishai Bunjate Te Tvakam Pa Pa Ye Pachanti Atma Karnat. So, yeah, this is a very important verse. We are reading in this chapter. It's the discussion between Arjuna and Krishna, and I'll just give you a short introduction. You can see the picture over there. It's a fratricidal war between two families or the same family. His nephews are on the other side, and so many uncles and like grandfathers. In those days, especially in the Vedic culture in India, then the grandfather, he would be like the head of the family, and all the nephews, and they would also be calling that person grandfather. So the families were a little bit more extended. The nephews were also considered to be like brothers. So the history is that Arjuna's father, he died. And what happened is that He had a brother, older brother, and he was born blind. So in those days, it was normal that a blind person was not considered fit to rule the kingdom. So he was not allowed, and he was also not, I think, aspiring to rule the kingdom. He understood, my younger brother will rule it because I'm blind. So, but then when his younger brother died, somebody, because the sons were still like 5 years old or something like that, they were too young to rule the kingdom. So he was ruling in name of his brother, and he was holding the crown for Yudhishthir, the oldest son of his younger brother, Arjuna's brother, Arjuna's older brother. So, but then his son, Duryodhan, right? His son Duryodhan, he kind of usurped the kingdom. And of course, fathers generally are very attached to their sons. So he kind of went along with it. And they actually tried to kill the Pandavas on many occasions. They tried to poison them. They invited them into a house, burned off, you know, special wood so that it would go into flames very quickly, and they could barely escape underground. And they were actually informed beforehand, otherwise they would have surely burned. And so many other things, they tried to kill them and take the kingdom illegally. Finally, they devised this kind of trick to cheat them with a dice game. So Yudhishthir was a little bit attached to this dice game, and also he was a Kshatriya, so they challenged him. And for a warrior, it's very difficult to refuse a challenge, because it's, you're considered a coward if you refuse a challenge. So a Kshatriya, a warrior, can never be called a coward. But they rigged the dice. The dice were like, they cheated with the dice. So he lost everything. He lost his whole kingdom. He lost his wife, everything. And then they humiliated his wife in the assembly. And Yudhishthir was a very honorable man, so he stopped his brothers from retaliating, because his brothers were very powerful and they could have easily killed everybody there. But Yudhishthir didn't want to, because it was like, it was family, so he didn't want to do that. And they left for 13 years, they were banned. And then when they came back, they begged, just give us a small village. Five. Just give us five small villages so we can just be peaceful. And still Duryodhan didn't want to give it. So then so many other diplomatic steps were taken to convince Duryodhan, because the fact of the matter is, although Duryodhan was some kind of an expert, I mean, he was a very intelligent man, but he was, well, basically we call him like a demon. He was not a very nice character. I mean, I already told you, he was trying to murder his nephews, but on top of that, he was he was not very religious person. He had some moral principles, but you know, real religion, Krishna teaches in the Bhagavatam, Lord Yamaraj is saying that real religion is that which gives the laws of God, which teaches about God. Prabhupada explains that real religion is to know who is God and then to love him. That is real religion. So, but Duryodhana was not very much interested in that. He was just interested in doing some good works, you know, giving some charity and then enjoy life. So that is not a very good king, because Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharya srestas tatat evadri janaha. Janaha means the common people, and achar means behavior. So whatever a great man does, the common man will follow. So if the king is just into giving little charity and then enjoying his senses, as we speak, we learn here in this verse, then the whole population will follow. So Krishna also was against, for that reason also, against him ruling the kingdom. And in those days, you might not know this, but in those days, this is 5,000 years ago, basically the whole world was ruled from Delhi. At that time was called Hastinapur, like Greece, and you know, practically whole of Russia, whole of Asia, parts of Egypt. This was all ruled from India. So it was basically about, it was a world war, and it was basically about who would reign the world. And so Krishna, he tried everything also. And so finally everything was settled up and there was going to be a war. It was enough. He didn't want to give them even 5 villages, so they were going to have a war. And Arjuna, being a devotee of Krishna, he was soft-hearted. So he didn't want to fight. And he said that he had different arguments that I don't want to fight. You know, it's my family, it's my grandfather. You know, I know Duryodhana my whole life because they were all growing up together. You know, they were all like princes. So they were all like brothers and half-brothers. And they had the same, you know, martial art teachers and like that. So he didn't want to fight them. He didn't want to fight his uncles and his grandfather. And he also said that, you know, if you kill all the men here, then, you know, what the woman will do, they will be without husband, and then the woman will become, you know, they will be unprotected, and then they will degrade themselves, and then, you know, the whole progeny will go to, you know, go to smithereens, you know, go to hell. You get bad progeny, and then everything is lost. The whole dynasty will be lost. The whole kingdom will be lost. So he gave all different kinds of arguments. And then in the second chapter, he was so much confused because Krishna was also like a prince and he was his friend. And he said, I'm confused now, Krishna. I'll surrender to you. You please tell me what to do. So then Prabhupada explains, then friendly talks were over because Arjuna actually surrendered to Krishna. And then if you surrender to someone, as you know, now you're my spiritual master, then you should accept what he says. You should not just start arguing. You can inquire submissively. This is explained in the 4th chapter. But you should not have like all kinds of weird questions or challenging questions. That is not proper. And of course, Krishna, we know from so many authorities, he is in fact the personality of Godhead. So, you know, Krishna's answers are perfect. So we can take his word for it, as they say in America. So anyway, so he defeated different arguments of Krishna, of Arjuna, Krishna. And here Krishna is talking about the third chapter is called Karma Yoga, means like action in Krishna consciousness. Because the beginning of the chapter Arjuna asked, because Krishna had said that let me just back up a little bit, because it's kind of complicated, to be honest, at least for me, and I want to get this right. So Arjuna's question, it starts at text 1. Arjuna's question was, the beginning of the third chapter, Jajasi Chet Karmanas Te Matha Budhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Gore Mam Nityo Jajasi Keshava. He said, Keshav, Janardan, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work? So, Krishna was explaining, because Arjuna was saying that this is not fruitive work, this is not good, this is not good work. The fruits of my actions will be not beneficial. I explained it a little bit. There's other arguments he gave, but I don't want to get too much distracted. But this was one of the arguments. We will kill all the men, and it will not be, the results will not be good. So Krishna mentioned you should just act in intelligence, in Krishna conscious. So, but Arjuna thinks that this Buddhi Yoga, Buddhi means intelligence, that it means, and many people think like that, and we discussed it this morning, that sometimes people use the Krishna conscious philosophy to do what they want to do. So this was, in one sense, I mean, of course Arjuna is, we call him an eternal associate. He's not really confused. He's acting confused. It's a little bit difficult to explain. It's kind of acting, it's sort of like method acting. He's really into his role at the same time. And so he is actually complaining that, you know, I cannot just do this. And then you're saying you should just be intelligent. And Arjuna is saying not act. So that is his question, why you're saying I should act and then I should also not act. My intelligence is bewildered by your equifocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me? So then, here comes Krishna's answer. I've already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. So that is text number 3, and then text number 4. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. So Krishna is saying here, it's good to renounce, but just renouncing is not enough. And also abstaining from work, that is also not good. So here already Krishna is indicating that you have to renounce, but you have to renounce the fruits. So it's more a mental thing or a conscious thing, a thing of the consciousness. So you work for Krishna, because this is the meaning of yoga, to connect with Krishna, but you be detached from the result. That is actually what he's indicating here. So they're both good. Karma yoga and Buddha yoga. It's not really one or the other. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can restrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So Krishna says you cannot really renounce anything because, you know, you have to act no matter what by the modes of material nature. One who restrains the senses of action but whose mind dwells on sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Yeah, so here Krishna is explaining that some people, they go into the forest, but then they think of all kinds of things. So that is not really going to help you much. You see? It's better to be in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he's by far superior. So in other words, if you act in Krishna consciousness, but you control the active senses by controlling the mind, and you perform karma yoga without attachment, that is much better than to just renounce. Perform your prescribed duty. For doing so, it is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. So here Krishna is, now he's starting to explain Krishna consciousness basically, that you have to work for Krishna, for Vishnu. It's a little mystical, you know, because actually this is sometimes a little confusing, that especially in India, many people think that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. Maybe it's because of this verse, I don't know. But it's very clearly explained by Lord Brahma that Ishvara Parama Krishna, that Krishna is the Param Ishvara. And Krishna is just, he's acting a little bit like a human being, and he's saying you should worship Vishnu. But later also, he actually, at the end of the Gita, he says, you should just surrender to me. He's just basically still kind of explaining philosophy to Arjuna. You know, it's still, and it's also, the Bhagavad Gita is also like an introduction to all the different Vedic philosophy and different philosophies in the world. So it's like a general statement. O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So, and then he goes on about the demigods. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent 4 generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Yeah, Prabhupada says in the purport, the material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedas cha sarvair ahang ava veja. The Lord says, and here it comes, that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him. So there it's very conclusively said by Krishna. Okay, and then we go to text 11. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Yeah, so if you perform Vishnu Yagya, you do sacrifices for Krishna, then the demigods will automatically also be pleased. And they supply air, sun. It's explained in Krishna book that when Krishna came to this planet, that all the mountains were giving profusely all kinds of gemstones, and the trees, they were giving honey, and you know, so many flowers, and everything was very, very auspicious. So similarly, if we perform, well, mainly because this is all 5,000 years ago, and now 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. This is actually very special. Usually he doesn't come, or it is like not a full expansion of Krishna. But this expansion is full 100% Krishna, and he appeared 500 years ago, and he explained about chanting Hare Krishna, basically. It's explained that Krishna asked to surrender, and nobody really could do it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't ask us to surrender. He asks us to simply chant Hare Krishna. That's all he asks. And Prabhupada says, and even that we cannot do. Just see the fun. You know, that's the situation. But it's very simple, actually. And so that is the real yagya for this age. And you'll see, if you perform this serious, and ultimately it is a science, and there is 10 offenses against the holy name, not to blaspheme devotees, not to see demigods as equal to Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, to not to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. You're supposed to take initiation. And there's different stages of progress that you need to make, and one very important stage is called anartha nivritti. Most people, they get stuck there, and it means that you want to get rid of the unwanted things like lust and anger and so many negative emotions, and you know, so many, in America they call it baggage. You want to get rid of all these baggage, you know. So you have artha means money or economic development, and anartha, this is what you don't need. So that, we need to get rid of that, all the excess baggage. And that is not so easy. And therefore also you need a spiritual master to guide you through that. What is important, what you should keep, what you should not keep, what you should work on, what you should leave for later. Because it's a gradual process. So, but this chanting, it will clear it ultimately. It will clear all these anarthas. But you have to abide by these 10 offenses. You should not blaspheme Vedic literatures. Yes, very good. Yeah, not talk negative. Well, yeah, generally not. Sometimes, you know, you can point something out, but the best policy is just not to talk negative about them. You shouldn't maintain material attachments. And one of the biggest offenses is to commit sinful acts on the strength of the holy name. To think that, you know, I don't, like I make these offenses many times. I don't need to bow down. I have important service to do. You know, this is like the 7 offense, you know. So we should always try to bow down. You know, or we think we can, you know, we can smoke and then we just chant. That is an even worse example. You know, but people do it, like in the Christian religion. People do that. They sin and then they ask for forgiveness and then they sin again. So that is not a process. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they try not to, but they say, yeah, we're weak, we're fallen. But yeah. Well, we all do it to some extent, but they have almost made it into, you know, like authorized. So at least we should know that we should try not to do that. Then at least there is some hope, you know, for improvement. That's the whole idea. Anyway, I'm a little rusty on all of the offenses, so you can read it. It's a nectar of devotion. But they need to be avoided. And then if you chant pure, then you will see that the weather, it will become nicer. And especially if we do it sun kirtan, if we together glorify Lord Krishna, then the weather will change. You know, like I said, we will change. Everything will change, you know. Like our cows, for instance, they give milk, And according to most farmers, it's not possible unless they have a calf. But it's not true. Why? Because we give them love. We care for them nicely, and they know we're not going to kill them. So they give us milk out of love. So, you know, if you follow this Krishna consciousness, then everything will be supplied. But you must follow it. Krishna is in charge, and he has certain likes and dislikes. He likes cows. So if you don't take care of the cows, Krishna is not going to be very pleased. This is one of the most important things, to take care of the cows and of the priestly class or the brahmanas. And Krishna also, he takes care of that himself. So if we take care of these things, and like I said, the beginning, and also the end actually, is chanting Hare Krishna. And this is the yajna for this age. So if we do that, then all the demigods, they will be pleased. And then all, like I said, all these weather and gemstones. And like now, for instance, I give another example. People say, especially like sports people, there's not enough nutrients in the food. And it's explained to me by one person that in the old days, what would happen, the rivers, that would flood the land naturally. And then the rivers were very clean, and they would take the sediments of the mountains. So the sediments of the mountains would flood the land, and then all the minerals would be in the vegetables. So this is how it would go. But now everything is artificial, so you don't get these minerals from the mountains, so you need to artificially take all these food things and food supplements and like that. But if we worship Lord Krishna and we do things, Prabhupada says, simple living and high thinking. In fact, in Holland, they try to fix this. Because we had some floods like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. Right. No, but a few years ago it was very serious. And our prince is involved with that, also on a worldly scale. And they concluded that it was actually better to just let it flood. Because they were trying to, you know, we're from Holland, you know, and we know dikes. You know, if you need dikes, you call the Dutch, and we make dikes for you. You know, but we decided in Holland that we shouldn't make dikes, because it was too much power, and it was too much work, and it wouldn't work ultimately. And it was better to just take away the people that live there, and to just let the land flood. And this was already the natural way that it was done. So now, after so many years of being expert, they found out better to do nothing and let nature take its course. So this, my point is that, you know, if you live simply, then automatically all these things, they will naturally come about. Yes? Yeah, very good. Yeah. So there's no point anywhere in being Dutch. But that's what Krishna wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be Dutch. He doesn't want Arjuna to be attached to his family. He just wants us to be engaged into loving devotional service to him and his devotees. You know, we should ultimately judge, and this is another side point where in India so many things went wrong. We should judge people on how much are they devoted to Lord Krishna, and not on, you know, what they wear or how do they, where, which family they are born, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was just speaking about him, he gave the example by canonizing, or whatever the word is, Haridas Thakur into Namacharya. And he was from a Muslim family. So it was not done in those days. Yeah. Their souls, they're not the body ultimately. Yeah, yeah. No, that's very nice, and I can also advise you that therefore it's also good to it's a gradual process, but to accept the spiritual master, because he can also help you with these things, because it's ultimately also something that you do want to let go. But at the same time, we have the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was a magistrate in Puri. And he was doing his job the best possible way. Because that's a devotee. He knows that he's a devotee and that everybody else knows. So he was showing people that this is what a devotee can do, because he was working, 4 or 5 hours. But he was doing a full day's work, and his colleagues, they were all Britishers, they were getting a little envious. Like, how this Thakur, or I don't know how they call them, how he can do all this. And they were checking his cases. Maybe he's just sloppy, you know. And everything was meticulous. No mistake. Everything perfect judgments, you know. And he was just very organized. He would only sleep a few hours. And then you should see the poetry and the songs and the books he wrote. Whole library. It's just amazing how much he got done. So a devotee, he does his job very good. And ultimately people should know, oh, she's a devotee of Krishna, you should hire her, you can trust her, she will always be on time, she's trustworthy. Like a little bit, you have it now in America with the Mormons, they get many good jobs because people know you can trust them, they will not steal, they're honest people, they will not just leave the job, you know. So like that, we as Hare Krishnas, we should also become more and more trusted by the government and by the people in general, by society. So it's a kind of a long-term preaching, you see. But at the same time, at some stage, of course, everybody knows you need to retire. And when and how to do that, then sometimes it's good to have some spiritual master guiding you with that. But, right. But it's nice. It's a very honorable job. Okay. Let me see. Where are we? Yeah. So we're talking about worshiping Lord Vishnu, and then automatically the demigods will be pleased also. Yeah. And then today, we come to our verse. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. So now Krishna is explaining practically how it can be done. And I want to tell one funny anecdote from this verse. It says here, Yagya Sistashana Santo. So Prabhupada, a few times in the purport, he also explains that the devotees are the santas. And there is actually this devotee of devotees that were distributing books. And they had these Christmas outfits on, you know. And so this drunk American, he didn't like that. He said, you guys are Hare Krishnas, you know, you're cheating. And then he was saying, no, we're the real Santas. And then this guy pulled a gun on him, you know. That's the story, at least, how I heard it. And then he was going through Bhagavad Gita, and he showed him this verse. He said, look, you know, here, Santa. And then he believed him, and he put down his gun, and he walked away. But it's true, you know. The devotees are the real saintly persons, you know. And it's very important, actually, that we offer our food. It doesn't have to be difficult. You can just offer it to a picture. And just like you do to a normal person, you make a plate, you put it in front of Krishna. And if you're lucky, he will eat it. But generally, he just eats with his eyes or with his ears. And then you can honor the prasad. And if you don't do that, then Prabhupada says, you're a thief, and what else did he call them? Remember? He said, how can you be peaceful if you're a thief and sinful, right? I think it's that. Yeah. Because you're a thief because you're stealing the food from Krishna, and you're also sinful because you're eating something that is not really prasadam. So, that is what most people do, and it's It's not very recommendable. And like I said, it's very easy. You just offer it to a picture. It doesn't take a long time. And chanting Hare Krishna. That's the other that we already discussed. That's what we'll do right now. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so chanting Hare Krishna is the medicine, and eating prasadam, that is the diet. Hare Krishna.